This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr joins me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so for number five, what do we get?
We got Kelly Clarkson. She is a new TV host for a daytime program on NBC, aptly named The Kelly Clarkson Show. It premiered on Monday, and it got something called a 1.9 household rating, which apparently is a really big deal. It's the highest debut rating for a first-run syndicated show in 7 years. So she's off to a good start, and everybody's really stoked on this, but I think it's really funny because, I don't know, I feel like daytime TV is like where people that are famous go to essentially, like, not die in the physical sense, but, like, have their careers significantly decline. Like, yeah, it's great, she's got her own TV show, but is that better than being a, you know, an incredible musical artist and TV star, movie star? I don't know. Feels like a significant downgrade to me. But if you look at Kelly Clarkson's career, it's incredible. I mean, she won American Idol. She was obviously a really successful musician after that. She made movies. And now she's got a freaking daytime television show. Steve Carell and Dwayne Johnson have already been on it. So good for her. Oh, also, listen to this. She's the godmother of a cruise ship. Apparently, that's a thing where big cruise ships dedicate the godmother duties to some sort of famous person for, like, good luck. And so this cruise line, Norwegian Encore, made her the godmother. So she's done it all.
I wonder why she didn't do a Las Vegas residency. I mean, usually if a musician wants, like, that steady money, they do that. Was it like nobody wanted her, so she's like, oh, I guess I'll do a daytime host job?
I feel as though if it were me and I had the choice between doing a daytime hosting gig for NBC, assumably in New York City, or living in Vegas and performing at Caesar's Palace 5 nights a week, I think the choice is pretty clear. I'd rather live in New York City and work at NBC. Like, I don't know. The Vegas residency might be more lucrative, but I don't know, like, that seems like kind of a tough quality of life, like, doing the same performance over and over. She might have had the choice. She might have just, you know, decided to go with the NBC gig. What would you do?
Las Vegas, hands down.
Really?
I would be performing every single night, shaking it up. Why not?
I mean, yeah, Celine Dion did it for forever. It sounds really dope. I wish I would have been able to see her. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, though, but, like, Vegas is great, and I love it, and not knocking anybody that lives there, but I think it would be a little bit of a tough place to live. First off, it's super hot. There's a bunch of, like, frat bros that come in there every weekend and get turned up. Like, it's kind of a tough demographic to just kind of coexist with.
But daytime host? I don't know. I'm not sure that that's my line of work right there.
Well, you know, yeah, no, I agree. It does seem like daytime television. Obviously, I have a job, so I'm not really invested in the daytime TV zone, but I agree. It's not the best. But hey, you know what? She's doing her thing. She's making her money. She's great. I don't know. Maybe I'll catch an episode. Who knows?
Well, good for her. I'm glad she's doing something. I always loved her music.
I agree, man. When Since You've Been Gone comes on at the bar and you're not screaming, I don't know, something might be wrong with you.
What do we get for number four?
We've got the Triple Crown winner, Justify. Sorry, the 2018 Triple Crown winner, to clarify here. So there's some controversy going on. So this horse won the Triple Crown. Obviously, that's very hard to do. But it was revealed that this horse failed a drug test a couple weeks before the first race in the series, which is the Kentucky Derby. And it took the California Horse Racing Board more than a month to confirm the results that the horse was racing in the time that it took those higher powers in the horse racing world to determine what the heck was going on. And so the horse just kept racing and kept winning, but everyone's like, dude, the horse failed the drug test. It should have been automatically disqualified. So there's a lot of drama going down, a lot of corruption. And, yeah, the executive director of the California Horse Racing Board, Rick Baedeker, says they just didn't have time to complete the investigation before the Derby. It's like, I think that that's untrue. Also, the owner of Justify, he sold the breeding rights for $60 million, and obviously you make a lot of money when you win the Triple Crown. So that has been kind of rattling the horse racing world this week, and I'm going to keep a tight pulse on this. It's going to get interesting.
So what kind of horse drugs is bad? Like, is it steroids? I mean, I know it's for people, but is it the same for horses?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it was some sort of steroid. The substance is called, I might botch this, scopolamine, and veterinarians say that it can enhance performance. So yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess it's some sort of horse steroid of sorts, which, I don't know, seems pretty cut and dry. Do you really need to investigate that much of it? I mean, if an athlete in professional sports, if you like, in the United States, fails a drug test, they're automatically disqualified, and while they're investigating, you know, the player is not necessarily playing. So it's interesting to see that didn't happen in this case.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, over-the-counter drugs have caused athletes to get benched for a while. You know, something right. You buy from Walgreens, and it's like, oopsie poopsie, you know, you failed a drug test, and it's like, dude, it was a baby aspirin.
You're right. I mean, sometimes there are substances in over-the-counter supplements. You get a GNC, like different things in like protein powder and like a muscle recovery type of supplement. So your baby aspirin. So yeah, obviously there's corruption going on. And, you know, Justify was just the 13th Triple Crown winner in the last 100 years. So it's very rare to do what the horse did. And so, yeah, obviously, you know, there could be, because it's such a hard thing to do, you know, there could be substances at play there, but I don't know. I definitely see incentive for the horse racing board to kind of maybe sweep this under the rug a little bit. Obviously, it's not good for the sport. It's great for public interest when a horse does win the Triple Crown. I mean, I know that I pay attention when the Triple Crown is in the running. So I don't know. This one smells fishy.
I feel bad for the horse. I mean, I know the horse doesn't care. But it's like, it's the reputation, right? He didn't ask to take the drugs. He just wants to race. And the poor horse. Now he has a muddy title, man.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. I mean, this horse is just an innocent being.
Right?
And he is now having his good name drugged through the mud. His other horse pals might be making fun of him as we speak. And he's like, I didn't know. I'm just out there running with you guys. I don't know what they were giving me. I thought it was a baby aspirin.
Exactly. You understand me, Justin.
Yes, I do.
What do we get for number three?
We've got Palindrome Week, which is very exciting. And if you don't know what a palindrome is, it is a word, number, or phrase, or other sequence of characters which reads the same backwards as it does forwards. So some of the famous word palindromes are taco cat, or race car, or madam. But if you look at the dates this week, so September 12th, 2019, so 9-12-19, 9-13-19, same forward as it is backwards, which is exciting. And when I first looked at this trend and saw it trending on Google, I was like, whoa, this is so cool. I'm so glad I'm alive during Palindrome Week. But, dude, it's happened every single year for the past decade, and we got another one coming up in 2021. So it's not that unique, but it is fun to look at some of the best palindromes out there in the English language. Some of them are so intricate. A Santa lived as a devil at NASA. Was it a rat I saw? Do geese see God? Madam in Eden, I'm Adam. Mr. Owl ate my metal worm. Those are all palindromes. Same forward as it is backwards, which is incredible.
What? I didn't even... This is... Why is this a thing?
A nut for a jar of tuna? Like, what? Who sits around like, hey, Bob, I got another palindrome. Do geese see God? Write it down.
Yeah, what it was, that's ridiculous. I like it. I mean, I think it's because it's so ridiculous is why I like it. That has to be it, because it's so much fun. You're right.
It is super fun. And it's interesting, though, because, like, in England or Australia, Palindrome Week doesn't necessarily exist. I mean, they have palindromes in the words, but because the date goes before the month in their format, it's not Palindrome Week there. So if we got any international listeners, sucks to suck.
Wow, they are missing out on once-in-a-lifetime really things. Ugh, Jesus. Yeah. What we get for number two?
We've got vaping, and it's trending for a bit of sad reason. People are dying, and people don't really know what is going on. There's some sort of, like, mysterious vaping-related illness, and as I was researching this trend a little bit yesterday, there were 6 deaths confirmed so far in the United States. So by the time this airs, there might be a little bit more. I think it's more capturing attention because, obviously, there are smoking-related deaths happening every single day from tobacco and lung cancer and things like that, but I think people are really interested in this and turning to Google because it is somewhat of a mysterious vaping-related illness. We're not really sure exactly what it is, and it caused President Trump to actually meet with top health officials this past Wednesday to discuss the banning of most flavored e-cigarettes, which is wild. There's some sort of a one of the personal profiles I was reading is of this student named Adam. He's actually a student athlete, I will clarify. Adam Herringer, and he said that he's been hospitalized for using e-cigarettes for about a year and a half, and now his doctors say his lungs are similar to those of a 70-year-old, which is terrifying. I mean, this guy's 18 years old, he's an athlete, and now he's got really bad lungs. So, yeah, it's interesting, especially because vaping, I feel like, was introduced and kind of positioned as maybe a healthy alternative to cigarettes because it didn't have that type of combustion smoke hitting your lungs, but apparently that is not the case.
I remember that when I was, like, attempting to quit smoking, it was like, it took me 3 years to quit smoking, and during that time, this was vaping and e-cigarettes. That was the big thing, and I remember my friend told me, hey, maybe you should start vaping, you know, to kind of wean yourself off cigarettes since this is a healthy alternative. And I tried it and it wasn't powerful enough for me. I still had my nicotine craving. So I'm like, get this garbage out of here. But I told my friend and anybody who would listen, anytime you put something in your lungs, it's bad. There is no healthy alternative when you smoke anything. So I always found it funny that they called it, like, you know, a healthy alternative. It's like fried chicken, you know, that's not healthy. You know, it's crazy that people would think that it was healthy at all, but they did market it as that. And I've always wondered when the shoe would drop and these companies would get into big trouble for that, because a lot of people started vaping and doing e-cigarettes simply because they thought, oh, I can, you know, it's healthy for me. It's not bad.
No, it's insane. I'm sure there's going to be tons of lawsuits coming out of this and kind of poking holes at some of the marketing and the positioning that these big e-cigarette companies have. And it's crazy because it's so easy to do. Not only is it easy to actually procure the device, but it's easy to do. Just like you're walking down the street, you just pull out your little e-cig and take a puff, and you can even do it, you know, really inside without really anybody knowing. Whereas I feel like smoking a cigarette is much more of an activity that you need to do, and so maybe it deters people from doing it so regularly. But with e-cigs, I mean, if you got the thing in your hand, you can do it at any time, and it's almost become just kind of a habit for a lot of people. So yeah, this one's definitely going to be interesting to see how this affects the industry at large, and especially if the president is taking action against banning. I mean, that's pretty bad overall for these companies, but it seems like kind of a necessary next step if there's things out there killing people and they don't really know what it is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think to myself, you get those little vials and it's liquid, and I think, isn't that all chemicals? Like, you're just smoking chemicals.
Right.
Versus, a cigarette, marijuana, it's a leaf. You know, it's going to kill you in 40 years, not 18 months.
Right. Yeah, I know. All of a sudden, it's really accelerated.
Right?
I mean, yeah, kid's been smoking for 18 months. He's got the lungs of a 70-year-old. That's some quick work.
Yeah, I was smoking for 15 years, and my lungs are almost like completely back to where they were. I mean, that's a big difference there.
Definitely. Now it's going to, the pendulum's going to swing the other direction, and now cigarette smoking is going to be the healthy alternative to e-cigarette use.
Isn't that nuts? What we get for number one?
We've got 9/11, and it's crazy to believe that it's been 18 years since September 11th and the attacks on the United States. So, yeah, you know, a lot of people turning to Google to just kind of reflect and remember and understand what that was, especially a lot of people that maybe weren't alive at that time. You know, it was 2001, and it's been 18 years since then. So a lot of people have entered the world without necessarily a first-person recollection of them. And obviously, I remember exactly where I was and looking at the TV screen and seeing those smoking towers and just not really understand. I mean, it was in sixth grade, and it's just like, it's hard for you to really, at like, what, 12 years old, 13 years old, to really understand what the significance of that is and what that means for the country. But, you know, in the past 18 years, it serves as a great reminder every single year, and hopefully more often than that, to think about what all the people that were lost that day and what those attacks mean. And, you know, there's a lot of really interesting work out there. I like to kind of like watch some of the documentary stuff every single year about that. There's also this really good book that just came out this week called The Only Plane in the Sky, and it's an oral history of 9/11 by this guy, Garrett Graff, which I just started reading, and it's kind of just a collection of stories from his perspective of what was going on Air Force One on September 11th, because it was the only plane in the sky, which is really crazy to think about. So, yeah, a bit of a sad number one trend, but an important one at that.
Yeah, I remember when it happened, Chicago was evacuated almost, downtown Chicago, and that was unheard of. Everybody was coming home. It was like early in the morning, so unheard of. And even though all this stuff happened, the aftermath, I thought, was pretty incredible, that even though it was such a big tragedy, we all came together as a country. I remember driving through the neighborhoods and everybody had their American flag out. There was not one house that didn't have one. We all kind of came together.
That's true. I do agree. Yeah, the community feel of an entire country coming together to overcome such hardship was the silver lining in this tragedy. But yeah, you could really feel that, and everybody was talking about it, obviously, for so long after that, and sharing that experience and overcoming that grief together, that it was beautiful to see an entire country kind of rally together to overcome something like this. So yeah, I definitely agree that was, you know, if we were looking for a benefit, that could be one of them.
Not just that, other countries too. Remember, Canada came and helped us. So they came down here, their first responders helped ours. It was wonderful to know that, you know, we weren't alone. Even as a country, we still had our own allies.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this is my first 9/11 back in New York City in 3 years, and it's powerful to be back here. You know, there's a little bit of a different vibe on that day here in New York, and it's crazy that I was actually out sailing on the 11th, and I was looking at the downtown skyline, and you could see the new World Trade Center, and also they have light shot up from the ground of where the previous World Trade Centers were. And yeah, it's a powerful scene out there, something to think about and reflect on.
What'd we get for the top YouTube video?
Yeah, it's the Bon Appetit. Comes from the Bon Appetit channel, and it's a pastry chef attempting to make gourmet M&Ms. It's super long. I mean, it's 40 minutes. I guess it takes a pretty long time to make gourmet M&Ms, but it's great. Like, I love peanut M&Ms. They're definitely the best M&M subsidiary out there. Absolutely love it. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is definitely interesting. Speaking of World Trade Center, Bon Appetit's in the One World Trade Center downtown, so that's cool. Got some sweet stuff going on. I was also just, like, jealous of her job. I'm like, man, you're just, like, out here just making candies and eating desserts all the time. Sounds incredible. So it's good. I watched a little bit, and then I skipped towards the end, where I feel like their attempt at recreating the M&M wasn't spot on, but a valiant effort. And I love the very technical dissection of these candies and the analysis of the candy circumference and how each chocolate kind of exterior actually varies based on the diameter of the peanut. I mean, it's a scientific kind of procedure that they got going on there. And then I went and ate some M&Ms that we have in the office here. So whatever they're doing, it works. And it made me hungry, and it's got 2.5 million views. And I wonder how many people of those 2.5 million went and reached for some M&Ms afterwards, because I certainly did.
All right. So I watched this entire video. I didn't skip. Right? I'm nuts. It was about 30 minutes too long. They could have condensed that into 10 minutes, and it would have been even better.
I know, 40 minutes. I mean, that's that's an endeavor.
And the thing is that it's not even like, I like her. I think she really breaks it down well, but she's not funny. It's not like, you know, right. like a comedy show where she's making me laugh every 2 seconds. So I'm like, what's happening here? And then you have some other people come in unnecessarily. They're just making it long to be long. And at this point, I can spot what you're doing here, Bon Appetit. You're just trying to mess with the YouTube algorithm. Making long right. videos, and then the longer you watch it, the more it gets into people's like feeds. So at this point, I'm like, you know what? You're not tricking me anymore, Bon Appetit. You may not get me as a viewer now.
Wow! You can't get anything past you.
No,
that's why. Yeah, that could be right. And I agree. When they were bringing in everybody to taste like the Thai coconut M&M flavor in the beginning, it's like, yo, we don't need every single person in that building's opinion on this M&M. Apparently it sucks. So let's put that to bed and let's move on.
Right.
Yeah, there are some things they could cut out. Also, that format of like quick thought, edit. It's like, okay, we get it. How about you just do a continual shot? And she just explains it. You don't need to be quickly cutting out any moment of silence whatsoever in conversation. It's such a trendy way to do it, but you know, it's a good bit. I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, you're right. I did want to eat some peanut M&Ms afterwards, but it's just, I don't know. I really just wanted to see if they could do it. And if you want to see her make the peanut M&Ms, go to the last 10 minutes. Boom, you got it.
Yes, you're welcome. We just saved you 30 minutes, everybody.
Well, Justin, thanks so much for joining me, man. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
This has been The Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.